So this one, the samadhi means the enlightenment factor of the teachings of the Buddha and the seven factors of enlightenment. This one is a free mind in that state. It's not a conditioned mind. You don't need energy field or jhana or concentration or one-pointedness of mind to make the mind equanimous. That one is not the real samadhi. Yeah. The real samadhi under the enlightenment factor is different. It's a free mind, but collected, unwavering. Now this one, the Mahayana teaching is very good, the Zen teaching. They always emphasize on this type of samadhi. Yeah. So this type of samadhi is not concentration, it's different. So when you understand, you know that the seven factors of enlightenment that just now Tammy read through is very clearly explained and defined by Lord Buddha. He said the first enlightenment factor is sati. Why? Because without sati, there is no inner awareness or mindfulness to see, to develop the wisdom and the understanding, and even to investigate the Dhamma. That's why the first factor of enlightenment is always sati, mindfulness, awareness, before the knowing, without thought. Then when you have sati, that is the beginning of cultivation. With sati, you can see things as they are. You can investigate into the teaching, the Dhamma that the Buddha taught. That's why he called that Dhamma Vichaya. When you do the investigation of all the Dhamma that he has taught you, that is the enlightenment factor. Then when it stands up to investigation, like Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, the Buddha explained very clearly, our mind, mano, the mundane mind, is the forerunner of all things. And that mind is chief. When that mind arises, all things arise. That's why the law of karma, everything manifests when you input the content of consciousness. So that one decides. So if you act, speak and think with a heedless mind, means you didn't train your mind to be heedful or mindful, then what happens is suffering will follow you. Just like the wheel that follows the hoof of the cart. So if you want your life to be such, then no need to cultivate, no need to be heedful, no need to train, no need to cultivate. Continue with your heedless behavior. And then continue to act, speak and think with a heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred and fear. And then suffering will follow you, if that is what you want. If you don't want that, then what must you do? You must avoid Dhammapada verse 1, follow Dhammapada verse 2. So Dhammapada verse 2 clearly state, if you train your mind, develop heedfulness, then you will act, speak and think with a heedful mind that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. If you do that, then happiness will follow you, like your shadow that never leaves you. So very easy to decide there. Yeah? Your life, you hold the key to your own life destiny. You can develop the choice appropriately. If you choose to be happy, you will be happy there. But why is it in this world there are so many people who are so miserable and so unhappy? You mean they don't know how to choose? You see the delusion behind or not? Because they don't know this teaching. If you know this teaching by now, you know heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. Means whatever you do, you are heedless. The evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion will condition your negativity of karma. That it will lead to suffering. Misery. Is that what you want? If that is not what you want, then wake up. That's why we immediately, no, why should I end up in choosing that deluded way? I instead will strive on with heedfulness, understand not? Develop the awareness within, stabilize it, then use it to live the proper life so that happiness will follow me like the shadow that never leaves. That's why the heedful never die. The heedless I sifted. So wake up. And to be heedful is Dhammapada verse 23. Very clear. The ever mindful, constantly meditative and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme enlightenment, Nibbana. And how do you develop the what they call ever mindful mind? That's why you have to train the mind to be mindful first, then stabilize it so that you are ever mindful. Then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path constantly, so that you develop the ability to be in the state of constantly meditative. Yeah. And that is what heedfulness is, two parts. Ever mindful, constantly meditative. So all this point towards the teaching. That's why all this Dhammapada verse 1, 2, 183, 21, 22, 23 are the important Dhammapada verse that I extracted out to share and teach. If you see the importance of all this, then you will definitely go into it. And to develop the progress is very easy. When you understand this, you cultivate accordingly, you will progress, you will transform. Yeah. Then, coming back to the enlightenment factor, I didn't finish. After you develop the Dhamma investigation, with the sati that you have developed, then it stand up to investigation. Means what? You have faith in the Buddha and his teaching, isn't it? The saddha will drive you, and that driving force is the third enlightenment factor, virya, spiritual zeal, spiritual tenacity to go this way, where you see the importance of this teaching, the beauty of this teaching, the uniqueness of the Buddha's teaching. That's why sati will lead to dhammavicaya, dhammavicaya will lead to virya. Then with virya, you will cultivate and experience piti. When your mind is calm, tranquil, still, then it will experience initially piti. Then from piti, normally it will go to what we call sukhang, which is not an enlightenment factor. It's a jhanic factor. But you can experience it as pass through. You no need to cling on to it or develop the attachment to it. Then once your piti is there, you relax. The key support is relax into it. If you don't relax into it, then it will continue to become very blissful. But if you relax into it, it becomes less, luring. It will not draw you more into sukhang. It will instead cause the mind to be more relaxed and quiet. Then that piti will become like slow down until very quiet, until no more thinking and become very still. So relaxation is very important. That's why once piti arises, if you continue to relax and maintain mindfulness and awareness, then this become paucity. Paucity is the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind. Means you realize your true mind. The mind becomes so quiet and so still until there is no thought process, nothing. No thinking, nothing. But this paucity is not really that stable. But it is a very good realization. Well, even a glimpse of it will make you understand that you have two minds. One is that mind which is pure awareness before the arising of thought. You will see that if you do it correctly. That's why from paucity, once you know you have two mind, one is the mano, dependent originating, condition arising, cause of knowledge, the mundane thinking mind. That one lead to heedlessness. Then immediately you will know. You have to intend, like the wise one, intend unheedfulness. Means you relax and go back into sati. And let it become very quiet and very still. And let your mind enter sati. Once your mind enters sati, you realize paucity, the true mind, the silent mind. Then that one can stabilize. That paucity can become more and more stable. Then your daily mindfulness become continuous. Continuous. Then your mind is always in sati. Seeing is in sati. Hearing is in sati. Smell, taste, tactile and thought process, everything is in sati. Then you realize the mind become collected, unwavering. And there is a free mind in sati, not in concentration. That's how it transforms into samadhi. A free mind that is collected and unwavering. Then when this free mind that is collected and unwavering, that has this stability, then in the midst of life, when you encounter sense experience, it does not waver, understand? It's collected and unwavering. And when it does not waver, what happens is it can see things as they are. It does not get stirred or conditioned into negativity, into light and desire. It stays there. That's why you will have more and more moments of silence, tranquility. We call it the space between thought. Means there is no arising of thought after that. At the moment of sense experience, it is collected and unwavering. Then if you have contemplated and reflected and developed the second turning wisdom, this initial wisdom, which is yonima, yoniso manasikara, will prompt you. Then you will not be deluded by what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. And from there, you awaken. That's why that awakening, that wisdom, will give rise to that ability of that cultivator to develop what we call the equanimous mind, upekkha. That's why upekkha is the seven factors of enlightenment, the last one. And without wisdom, upekkha cannot arise. Without yoniso manasikara, upekkha does not arise. That's why the Buddha is the Buddha, is because whether in the midst of life or in the meditative state, he is not affected. That's why he is the Buddha. It doesn't mean that when he's in the retreat meditative state, then his mind becomes equanimous. Nothing can affect him. But when he is out of the retreat of meditation, then he go into life. Then like the Chincha incident or those things, if he is not the real Buddha, he will be affected, understand? But because he is the real Buddha, that's why his mind has this upekkha. He knew that all these are not real. Empty nature of existence. Empty nature of life and existence. Not what you think. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity where you can cling on to, cross on to, and hold on to. And he only knows that he has a duty to do towards the nature's law, karma, and his vow enable him to share and teach. That's why all this understanding is there. That's why he has the upekkha mind, equanimous mind, that does not waver or become stirred and affected. So this upekkha, the seventh factor of enlightenment, is described by the Buddha very clearly under his teaching. And you check the five spiritual faculty, it end up with panya. Seventh factor of enlightenment, it end up with upekkha. Why? Because actually, after you have paucity, you develop heedfulness. You develop the mind that is tranquil and still. That is your true mind, your meditative mind. And that one can see things. That one gives rise to wisdom first. Yeah. But wisdom is not an enlightenment factor. Your wisdom, once it arrives, you already wise, understand? It's no more a factor for you to become maybe more wise or what. No need, understand? That's why after paucity, you go to samadhi. After samadhi, you end up with the wisdom leading to upeka. So his teaching doesn't contradict himself. Everything is very clearly expressed, proclaimed, and taught. So if you look at all this, then you will start to appreciate how wise the Buddha is and how unique a teacher he is. Okay?